Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey, law entrepreneurs, Neil Tyra here. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur. Today, we're going to be talking with Nakia Gray, a solo practitioner here in the Washington, D.C. area, who focuses on assisting creative entrepreneurs and businesses build and protect their brands. What's interesting to me is that Nakia's practice is 100% virtual, allowing her to work from home or the local Starbucks, a co-working office, or wherever she determines her office is going to be for that day. So much so that she's also created a virtual in-house counsel platform within her firm. Nakia was born here in Washington, D.C., and she's married with two adorable children, and she is our guest today. So please welcome Nakia Gray. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be here today with us. Well, tell us a little bit about your practice.
Sure. So I practice primarily business law, and so, of course, business is quite large in terms of contracts, entity formation. I do a lot of intellectual property work with copywriting, content, protecting online content for my online entrepreneurs, trademarks, and I also work with some entertainers and artists to help them in leveraging their brand, building it, and kind of doing all the legal stuff that no one really thinks is all that fun and sexy. I try to make it a little bit more fun and sexy for those creative entrepreneurs.
And for those in our audience who are embarking on an entrepreneurial business, you know, oftentimes I find, frankly, it's attorneys who most often overlook this fact. There are legal issues that you need to address right up front.
Yes. And when I talk with clients, I do a lot of webinars and different things to let people just talk. Because as the attorney, I can just listen to what you're saying and I can spot the legal issues or the concerns that you possibly would never have seen or even thought to ask a question about. And so there is this, especially as the entire world goes digital, there are lots of legal ramifications to putting your content online and protecting it, and not only protecting it, but also making sure that the content that you put online is okay for you to put online and that you aren't, you know, somehow in some murky waters and worried about infringing on someone else's content or something like that. So I do, there is a huge part of education when it comes to the online entrepreneurs and helping them to see what the legal issues may be that they probably wouldn't be able to see.
So you're actually getting to practice a skill that law school did develop for us, and that's
issue spotting. Because
tell us a little bit how you came to this practice, where you started.
And, sure. So first of all, law was a second career for me. I had been in the fashion industry for about 4 years. I was a fashion buyer at a pretty large national chain. So I knew that going into law school that I was going to still be in the creative space in some way. I knew that I wanted to do entertainment or fashion or something that kind of kept me in the same space that I was in before I went to law school. And then you actually go to law school and you graduate and you realize that there aren't that many jobs doing exactly what you thought you would be doing. So right. I started a solo practice right out of law school doing family law and some business stuff and criminal and food law, basically. I was doing everything that I could do to make sure that I would eat. Right. And after about a year of being in solo practice, I joined a law firm here in Maryland that was a pretty well, good sized firm, had a very good reputation, and they saw something in me that they felt that it would be worth it for me to come there, and they would give me the support that I needed to really grow my practice, because I was always been a very, had an entrepreneurial spirit to me, and I was definitely a hustler. I knew how to talk to people. I knew how to get out there and drum up the business, and they knew that I would be even better if I had, you know, all of the support of a large firm behind me. So I did that. I went to the firm, was promoted very quickly, probably in record time for what they had at that time. And I was a heavy, heavy litigator at that point. I had really kind of found my niche in family law, and I was very good at it and did very well with it. But I was burnt out. I mean, I was so completely tired and exhausted and emotionally drained from my cases. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be something different. You know, when I started at the firm, my children were 3 and 8. And I can remember thinking, oh, it's going to be a little tough at first, but, you know, as they get older, it'll get better. And the truth is, that's not true at all. As they get older, they need more, and they need more of your time. And they have schedules, and they have school events, and they have ball practice and games and different things. So as my children were getting older, and I was getting busier in litigating, it was like, okay, something's got to give here. I've got to make a change. So I signed up for an online program by Marie Forleo, who is the online entrepreneur goddess. I mean, she knows everything that there is to know about online business and marketing and so forth. So I signed up for Marie Forleo's B School is her signature program. And honestly, when I signed up for that program, I wasn't quite sure what it was going to be. I thought, you know, I knew that there was something to be said about the internet, doing business online, the freedom that came with that. So I was very open to just learning and figuring out what I could possibly do. So in B School, with all these, you know, I mean, Marie Forleo probably has, you know, I don't know, like thousands and thousands of students that enroll in her B School program that's only offered once per year. So there were thousands of us in this program. And when people heard me say that I was a lawyer, they started asking tons of legal questions. And I saw that they would post in the Facebook group about, I had this ebook and I see it on someone else's website. Does anybody know? What do I do? And I'm like, oh, well, I know that. You need to file a DCMA. Or, you know, so I'm popping in answering questions, and the light bulb came on and said, okay, these people need a lawyer. They need someone who understands them, who understands their business, how it works, and what the legal ramifications are to doing business online. So that is how I kind of fell into this space and figured out, you know, within B School, there were people that were delivering coaching, that were delivering financial services, that were doing, you know, life coaching, personal training. I mean, you name it, every kind of coach you could think of. And they were delivering services online. And I said, well, I've got a license to practice law. I know how to do these things. There's got to be a way for me to do this as well. And so that's really how I got to be where I am. It's an amazing story. I would love to say that, you know, this was a 5-year plan that I planned out, but it totally is not. And I just kind of fell into it.
Well, I think as most entrepreneurs go, you have to seize the opportunity when you recognize it. Well, give us an idea at whatever level you're comfortable doing so about how successful this endeavor has been for you.
Sure. I definitely am pretty transparent about that. And so if you've ever been on any of my webinars or anything, you would know that. But I had tremendous success immediately. I mean, my goal when I left, and many entrepreneurs that leave a job have this fear of, if I could just make what I make at the firm, if I could just make that every month. And the very first month, which would have been my first full month, was March. My first month, I had revenue of about $16,000, which is more, than what I was making at the firm. So I knew that I was onto something. And
that was from your digital product?
That was from some digital product, and that was from quite a few trademark applications. I mean, you know, trademarking is becoming, well, I don't know if I would say it's becoming increasingly popular. It may have always been, but I wasn't in that space, so I just didn't know. But for me, it seems like any and everybody, and it could be because those are the circles that I'm in, and For me, you know, social media is huge, and I have built this entire practice on social media. So many of my clients, people were hiring me for strategy sessions and trademark applications or purchasing my template packages or digital courses. And so I definitely had quite a bit of success right away. And then, you know, at that time when I first started, people were hiring me on a one-to-one type of, this, I need to hire you to do an entity. And then I need to hire you, you know, to draft an operating agreement. And so I decided to come up with, I want to say it was May or June, I designed a virtual general counsel program, which really changed the game for me because it allows clients to hire me on a couple people did 6 months, which has not turned out to be so great because then they want to hire me for another 6 months because 6 months honestly goes really fast.
Sure.
So right now I'm probably going to get rid of that 6 month package. Of course, I charge more for the 6 month than I do for the 12. So then people feel like, oh man, I should have just did the 12 month because I really did need 12 months. But so under that program, people basically have a lawyer on their team. I'm the general counsel that's not in their office space. I am there, you know, for their business. And that has worked tremendously well. I have limited number of slots that I take for that. So I keep a waiting list. I'm able to plan my cash flow. It works. It goes against the grain and it goes against everything that we're taught as lawyers. And so I met with a lot of opposition from attorneys who say, oh my God, that's crazy. You tell people that they have unlimited access to you. They're going to worry you to death. You're not going to make any money. That's not going to be profitable. And the truth is, it's the opposite. It's the security. It's almost like insurance. It's the security of knowing that someone's there if you need them. But they're not calling me every day. These are small business owners. You know, these are people that to give you an example, I've got one client. She is an art therapist. And so she's a licensed therapist. She's got a brick and mortar office here in Maryland. And she's looking to expand. She's looking to do some coaching and to do some online stuff. And she's got a product. And so she's growing her business and her brand, but she doesn't need a lawyer every single day. She doesn't have, you know, there's only so many things. Now, I definitely did get an independent contractor agreement done for her secretary that she wanted to hire. And, you know, these are not major corporations that have mergers and acquisitions. I mean, these are just the everyday, you know, person. I have another client that I enjoyed working with so, so much. She was one of the 6 monthers and so she just ended in December and she's saying, you know what? I think I want to go ahead and do a 12 month because she sees the value of having an attorney on her team. She opened her own beauty salon here in Maryland. And so I was there with her through every part of the process, from vetting the name that she was going to choose to make sure that it's a name that could be used and not trademarked by someone else, because I get a lot of, you know, that on the trademark side. I also represent a lot of people who get cease and desist letters or trademark infringement cases filed against them. And so to avoid that, you want to make sure that you do the proper search before you choose the name. And a lot of times people don't understand. They think, oh, well, I went to Maryland's SDAT website and they let me pick this name. Well, true. But the name that may be available in Maryland doesn't mean that there isn't someone in New York who has trademarked it.
Exactly. So now there's a couple of things that you've touched on there that I want to just bring to the attention of our listeners. And I think frankly, it's brilliant on your part in the sense that here that you have a reoccurring revenue stream. You have clients who are paying you on a monthly basis for access to you as needed. But as you said, they don't need you as much as one might think, because you're there in the beginning to help steer them around.
You know, I mean, I had a client that I negotiated a consent agreement for trademark infringement. It's a pretty hefty case. And I negotiated that consent agreement for her and got her out of it. And it cost her a ton. And she said, if I had come to you before I set up this business, how much do you charge for an entity package? And my fee for an entity package is $1,100. I do a search. I do a trademark search. I will draft the articles of organization. I'll file them. I'll get you your EIN number and I'll draft your operating agreement. And so she said, you mean to tell, now what I've charged her to get her out of this mess was three times that.
Right.
Not to mention, and whenever I tell this story, I always say, yes, she paid me over $3,000 to get her out of it. But that is all, you know, that's a number that we can easily identify. But the damage to her brand when people go to her website and it's not there anymore, and she's the merchandise that they purchased is they can't use or they can't rebuy. There's no dollar amount you can put on the damage to your brand when you don't do it the right way from the beginning. So it is so much better for the people that do understand that and they hire me. I mean, that virtual general counsel program, I'm actually thinking about doing a webinar with all of my clients just to spread the word and so that people can hear from them and their experiences. I mean, they absolutely love it. And they are so, when we get to that final month, they're like, oh no, what's going to happen to me? Are you going to get rid of me? Like, what am I going to do? I don't get to talk to you every month. You know, it's a very structured program. We have a monthly strategy session where I meet with them. You know, we have a 30-minute video conference and it's no pressure. It is just tell me what's going on.
Right.
And instead of them trying to issue spot and figure out what are the legal issues, just tell me what's going on. Just talk to me.
So,
and I will identify what the legal issues are and where we need to get a contract or when I need to review something for you.
So obviously, Nakia, this is going well for you. There must have been some challenges. What has been your biggest challenge thus far?
Is being a business owner. That's been my biggest challenge, is figuring out, looking at this as the CEO. And, you know, right now I am the practicing law part. That's the easy stuff, right? I mean, that's what I've been doing that before, although it's a new practice area. You know, that part is easy, but figuring out the administrative pieces and managing my staff. I've got virtual staff. I've got 5 people all over the world, managing them, getting systems in place. You know, I actually myself, because I definitely believe in practicing what you preach, I just hired an organizational coach who is helping me to structure my business and my organization and the roles that I need, you know, the job descriptions for what this person does and what this person does and what that person, you know, so that has been for me, that was the challenge. You know, growth is great, but growth too fast without systems in place can be trying. And for me, that's definitely the issue.
And that's the whole reason for being for this podcast, The Law Entrepreneur, is to teach attorneys who are venturing out as solos or small firm practitioners, the stuff they didn't teach us in law school, and that is how to run your law firm as a business. Because make no mistake about it, you are a business. You are a business person, and you have all the challenges and difficulties that any business owner would have.
Exactly.
Your product simply the practice of law. Now, you've described your staffing as being, you have 5 virtual assistants spread out. Yes. How did you come about acquiring your virtual assistants? Did you go to a resource that provides?
I did. I started on back at the time it was called Elance. It's now called Upwork.com. I highly, highly recommend it. I actually did a webinar on this for attorneys last month, and I gave all the resources on how to find virtual assistants. And so my very first one, which is my paralegal, Sarah, she's like my A1. I found her on Upwork. So initially we were on Upwork, which is a service. Cause I know a lot of people say, oh, but how do you know that they are who they say they are? How do you know that they're not going to run off with your money or run off with your this? And so for people who, if that's something that you're concerned about, those websites give you the security that you need in the way that you have to approve their timesheet. It records their screen so that you can see the work that they're doing. You have time to challenge it, which I've never had to do. Thankfully, I seem to attract great people. So Sarah and I started there first. And then once we were comfortable, we moved from Upwork. But so Sarah is my paralegal. She's in Maine. And then I have Jean, who does a lot of my technical website stuff. She's in the Philippines. I found her on Upwork as well. I have Ren, who is also in the Philippines. She's my content manager. She does social media and blog article writing and stuff like that, managing my content. And then Vanessa. Now, Vanessa is in New Zealand. She is my technical virtual assistant. She does all of this, the setup of my webinars and my sales funnels and things like that, because that stuff takes a lot of time. So I did not find her on any of those channels, though. I found her on Facebook because we're both in a group for entrepreneurs, which I'm in a ton of those groups. And another colleague of mine who asked me to be on a webinar, Hattie is in the UK, and she is a copywriter, copyright with the W, not the R.
Right.
And so she wanted to have me on to talk about copywriting, because a lot copywriting with the R, the copywriting that I do. And so we did a joint webinar, and the virtual assistant that she had that set that all up was Vanessa. And Vanessa did such a great job. She was so on top of it, because originally I had been doing my own, you know, setting up the webinar, setting up the registration page, the thank you page, you know, the autoresponder emails and all of that stuff. And so I asked Hattie, I said, how do you like Vanessa? And she said, oh, she's fantastic. And she, you know, if you're looking for someone, I'd highly recommend her. So that's how I got Vanessa.
So you were able to leverage yes. your one VA to hire
exactly.
another.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit, Nakia, about how your virtual office is set up. What role does technology
play? So everything
play
in my business is
part
online.
The virtual
from
environment.
From the time that people schedule appointments with me through my online scheduler, then they receive an intake form that is submitted online. And we have a video, an online meeting for their consultation that happens online. And then when they hire me and they receive an engagement agreement or retainer agreement, they receive that electronically. They sign it electronically. I sign it electronically. They pay electronically, and they receive a welcome email to the firm and to the online client portal, which explains to them how we operate. So within my firm, I do not use email with clients. They are told from the very beginning, do not email me. And everything happens in the client portal. So that is where Sarah and I, my paralegal, that is where we do all of our work. Everything is there. You know, all the client documents, all client communication, all tasks between us as the firm or tasks for the client. So every single thing happens in the client portal. So there are a bunch of systems that get them there. And once they get there, and really a lot of the systems, whenever I tell this story, a lot of, you know, people say, oh my God, that's so much. How do you keep it all together? It's not as much as it sounds. I mean, things talk to each other and, you know, you just right. get used to it. And that's just the way that it works. And from the client's perspective, they don't know all of this is going on behind the scene in terms of what they have to do. For instance, the electronic signature, when they receive the engagement agreement, they just click a button that says sign, you know, so they're not having to log into a system. They get one login, and they don't even get that until they've paid and they get their welcome email.
And
so
your portal that provides for all
yes,
your security.
And it's much more secure.
Traceability.
Exactly. It's much more secure than email, which is how I sell them on it. So in my welcome letter, I explain to them that they're not to email me. They're to do everything. On my case is the client portal that I use. All communication should happen in my case. And I even say, if you email me, I will not ignore you, but I will copy and paste your email into my case and I'll respond there. And after one or two times, they kind of get it. And most people just, you know, they have no problem at all. Every time I do something in my case, if I upload a document or if I change a version or we receive something from opposing counsel, it's there. They get a notification that they have a document. So if it's the middle of the night and they, you know, want to know whether or not opposing counsel responded to my settlement offer, they can log into my case and see everything that has happened. And even if I make a note and I say, called opposing counsel today, she said she'll get back to me by the end of the week, then they can see that. They see that message. So,
and of course, that cuts down the amount of time that the client has to spend actually engaging.
Yes, the engagement with me is very little, very little. because all of the communication happens there in my case, with the exception of course, our monthly strategy sessions.
Yep. You know, starting off as a fashion buyer and supporting entertainers and the like,
yes.
The entrepreneurial spirit has been in you from the very beginning. What
hands
do you
down, it's going to be
believe is your best entrepreneurial skill and is mostly resulting from your success or contributing to your success?
Marketing. Branding and marketing is, you know, I say the oxygen and lifeblood to every business is marketing and branding and positioning. And for me, that has always worked. You know, when I first started my practice, you know, people said, are you crazy? You're going to start a law practice right out of law school. No one's going to hire you. You have no experience. Not true. When you are good at branding yourself and positioning yourself in the market and marketing the heck out of yourself, you will be successful at anything. I believe that I could sell anything that I'm assigned to sell. And I am very good at selling myself. And that is a skill that is, you know, probably my best skill, even better than practicing law.
Tell us about your marketing efforts. So you said earlier that you're heavily vested in social media. How are you marketing?
Within social media, blogging is another piece of it too, but social media allows people to build that know, like, and trust factor. And I think where a lot of attorneys especially go wrong is we're so guarded and we don't want people, you know, we want to appear different than what we really are. And when you are just who you are and people can relate to you and they see what you're doing and every time they see you post, it's not you saying, come hire me. It is you. It's authentic. People are attracted to that. And so I am very active on social media. I am on there all day telling people what I'm doing and the success that I'm bringing to my clients, the joy that I have. And I share things when my client gets a great deal or gets cast in a play or a film or whatever, I share that. And I am genuinely vested in the success of my clients and other people see that and they like that. So when I say social media, it's not me saying, hire me to be your virtual general counsel. Hire me to do your trademark. Hire me to do this or hire me to do that. I may just give you information about a trademark. And then you'll say, oh, wow, this girl knows a lot about trademarks. Let me book some time with her. Let me send her an inbox. One of the things, my organizational coach, I had a session with her this week. And so one of the new people that'll be on my staff is a personal assistant who's starting next week. And one of the things she'll be doing is fielding a lot of the social media because that's something that me as the CEO of my company, I shouldn't be doing, according to my organizational coach. And so I am very active. I am in probably over 50 groups of entrepreneurs. And when someone asks a question, I don't say book a call with me and pay me. I answer it for free. And then when they ask for more information, then they can book the call with me.
You know, I think that's such an important factor. And it's something that, escapes most attorneys.
Yes.
Actually, I think because for years attorneys were restricted on how they could market their skills. And you talk to older attorneys and advertising is a dirty word to them. But the fact
really
of the matter
is
that's how people make decisions today. And I had a mentor not long ago who said to me quite candidly, most potential clients can't tell the difference between one attorney and another. They all look the same. Their resumes all look the same. So they're going to buy based on how they feel about you personally.
So true. So true.
As you said, if you're developing that trust, like, and respect factor through your social media, then you're much more likely to get an engagement than if you keep tweeting out articles that you think people would be interested in.
Yes, that's it exactly. You know, even, it's so true. It's so true. You know, true, authentic, heart-centered marketing is not advertising. It's not advertising. There is a difference between marketing and advertising.
Well, Nakia, I think we probably spend another hour talking about all this, but I want to let you get back to actually serving your clients. tell our listeners how they can reach out to you and where they can find out more about Nakia Gray.
Sure. So my website is www.nakiagray.com, and you can definitely go there to find out more about me. There is a link that will take you from there to my law firm's website, which is nakiagraylegal.com, and my social media accounts. I'm on every social media network at Nakia Gray ESQ. So I would be happy.
And that's Gray with an A.
Gray with an A. Yes, yes. Thank you for that. Yes, that's Gray with an A. N-A-K-I-A-G-R-A-Y.
And Law Entrepreneurs, we'll have all of that for you in the show notes. So once again, Nakia, I really want to thank you for taking the time to be here with me today. I think you offer a tremendous service for online entrepreneurs and business people alike. I love the virtualness of your office set up and your staffing through virtual assistants. There's so many lessons here.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing more from you in the Law Entrepreneur Podcast.
Well, there you have it, fellow law entrepreneurs. Thank you for listening and being a part of today's program. The utmost compliment you could pay me is to go over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a strong 5-star review if you think the podcast and what we're trying to do here is worthwhile. Feel free to share the link to the podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers. I would be very appreciative if you did. So until next time, thanks again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur.